Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be here again with you all. So, I want to thank you for the song service. So this morning, what I'd like to share about is praise. So the title for this morning's message can be Giving Praise to the Lord. So Psalm 100 says, Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, and come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. So in verse 4 it says, Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. So gates and courts would represent moving from common space into sacred space. In the Old Testament, worshipers passed through the outer gates into the physical courtyards of the temple to meet with God. So as we gather together on a Sunday morning, we should do the same. We should transition from our daily life, work, and worries, and focus entirely on God, for he is worthy and he should be praised. So praise is an outward expression of honor, adoration, and thanks. It is an active response, often involving speech or a song. A question we all can ask ourselves is, how are we doing each day? Do we talk about the Lord and sing praises to him as we are going about our work or whatever we may be doing? I believe if our hearts are not right with God, it is going to be a very difficult thing to do. But if we are walking closely with God and experiencing his peace, praise will overflow as a natural response to his presence. I'd like to read a story in the Martyr's Mirror of Felix Mons. I think many of us know him. It's a familiar story, but I like to take time and read his heart. It was how he believed and how he lived, and at last was how he died. So, Felix Mons was an originator of the Reformation of the Faith in Germany. And when he, with great zeal, practiced, taught, and preached the recognized truth of the gospel, he was envied, accused, and imprisoned by his adversaries, and finally drowned at Zurich for the evangelic truth, thus becoming a witness of the suffering of Christ. This occurred in the year of the Lord, 1526. He left the following admonition to his fellow brethren for their comfort. So this is how he believed. He said, My heart rejoices in God, who gives me much knowledge and wisdom, that I may escape the eternal and never-ending death. Therefore I praise thee, O Lord Christ from heaven, that thou dost not turn away my sorrow and sadness. Thou whom God hath sent me as a savior, for an example and a light, and who has called me into his heavenly kingdom already before my end has come, that I should have eternal joy with him, and should love him in all his righteousness, which exists here, and which shall endure forever hereafter, and without which nothing avails or subsists. Hence so many who do not have this truth are deceived by vain opinion. But alas, how many are found at the present who boast of the gospel and speak and teach and preach much about it, but are full of hatred and envy, and who have not the love of God in them, whose deceit is known to all the world, as we have experienced in these later days, that those who have come to us in sheep's clothing are raving wolves, who hate the pious of the earth and obstruct the way to life and to the true sheepfold. Thus do the false prophets and the hypocrites of the world, who curse and pray with the same mouth and whose life is disorderly. They call upon the authorities to kill us, by which they destroy the very essence of Christianity. But I will praise the Lord Christ, who exercises all patience towards us, For he instructs us with his divine graces and shows love to all men according to the nature of God, his heavenly Father, which none of the false prophets are able to do. Here we must observe this difference, that the sheep of Christ seek the praise of God. This is their choice, and they do not suffer themselves to be hindered either by possession or temporal good. For they are in the keeping of Christ. The Lord Christ compels no one to come to his glory. Only those that are willing and prepared attained unto it by true faith and baptism. Whenever a person brings forth genuine fruits of repentance, the heaven of eternal joys is through grace purchased and obtained by him, for him by Christ, through the shedding of his innocent blood, which he so willingly poured out. Therefore, showing us his love and enduing us with the power of his Spirit, and whoever receives and uses it grows and is made perfect in God. Only love to God through Christ shall stand and prevail, not boasting, denouncing, or threatening. It is love alone that is pleasing to God. He that cannot show love shall not stand in the sight of God. The true love of Christ shall not destroy the enemy. He that would have an heir with Christ is taught that he must be merciful as a father in heaven is merciful. Christ never accused anyone, as do the false teachers of the present day, from which is evident that they do not have the love of Christ nor understand his word. And still they should be shepherds and teachers, but at last they will have to despair when they shall find that everlasting pain shall be their recompense if they do not reform. Christ also never hated anyone, neither did his true servants, but they continued to follow Christ in the true way as he went before them. This light of life they have before them and are glad to walk in it, but those who are hateful and envious and do this wickedly, betray, accuse, and smite, and quarrel, cannot be Christians. They are those who run before Christ as thieves and murderers, and under a false pretense shed innocent blood. By this we may know them that they are not on the side of Christ, for they, as children of Belial, prompt by envy, destroy the ordinances of Jesus Christ. Even as Cain slew his brother Abel, when God accepted the offerings of Abel. With this I will finish my discourse, desiring that all the pious be mindful of the fall of Adam, who, when he accepted the advice of the serpent and became disobedient to God, the punishment of death came upon him. Thus it shall happen to those who do not accept Christ, but resist him, love this world, and have not the love of God. And thus I will close with this, that I will firmly adhere to Christ and trust in him who is the acquainted with all my needs and can deliver me out of it. Amen. So that's what Felix Mons, that's how he felt and believed, and that's what he shared. And then the next part is his death. This is how he died. It says that at 3 p.m. on January 5th, 1527, Felix Mons was led bound from the Wellingborg prison through the fish market to a boat. As he walked through the crowded streets, he praised God with a loud voice and joyfully preached to the onlookers. A reformed preacher sat in the boat with him, pleading with him to recant his views to save his life. Felix Mons ignored the priest's entreaties and stayed firm. Standing on the banks of the Limmat River were Felix Mons' mother and brother. Instead of weeping or begging him to give in, his mother shouted across the water, admonishing him to remain steadfast and suffer for Jesus' sake. Felix Mons was tied hand and foot. His hands were pulled behind his knees and secured with a stick between them. As he was pushed into the freezing waters of the Limmat River, he sang, "Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit," just before the waves closed over his head. It's a beautiful testimony he left behind, that before he died, he sang a song. And I believe the only way he was able to do that is because he knew that his name was written in the book of life. I believe that each one of us in here can sing. We all can sing many songs, but we are only going to be able to truly praise God with our whole heart if we are born again and have confidence that our names are written in the book of life. I'd also like to read the chapter in Job 1, I believe, and look what all he went through. And look at his life. I think we're familiar with the story, but I'll just read it again. Look, Job chapter 1. I'll just read this whole chapter. It says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And the man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sat and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of the feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings, according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? That Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and has substance, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon him put now forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, The oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the sawbeams fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was speaking, there came also another and said, The fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, The Chaldeans made out 3 bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped along to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the 4 corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshipped, and said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So we see that everything was taken away from Job, and he still worshiped and blessed the Lord. There may be times in this life when we may face trials or difficulties, but if we keep the Lord in the center of our lives, he will help us through these things, and we'll still be able to worship and praise God. And there's another account we can read. It's in Acts 16 of what Paul and Silas went through when men rose up against them. I'll read 22 through 30 of Acts 16. And the multitude rose up together against them. And the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison door open, he drew out his sword, and he would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, and sprang in, and came trembling, and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" We can take from this that Paul and Silas left a good example to us, that no matter what our circumstances are, we should praise God, because others may come to Christ because of our example. I believe all these men, what they went through, from Felix Mons and what Job went through and what Paul and Silas went through, I believe they were only able to go through that because they were completely surrendered. I believe it will be the same for us today. We won't be able to praise God unless we are completely surrendered. Psalm 104, verse 33 says, "I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being." And Psalm 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion, on the sides of the north, the city of the great king." Hopefully you guys understood everything, and we can maybe sing that song, "Great is the Lord," and I'll take my seat. If maybe you want to go ahead and start it.